Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2055 with a release date of Friday, March 17th, 2017 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A longtime amateur supplier of crystals is closing its doors. South African youngsters find new friends on the air, and hams climb to summits around the world to face challenging contacts. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2055 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Our top story this week is about International Crystal Manufacturing. The longtime supplier to the amateur radio community is going out of business, as we hear from Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
International Crystal Manufacturing, once one of the suppliers of crystals for Collins Radio, will be closing its doors by the end of May. The Oklahoma City company manufactures precision crystals, quartz crystals, oscillators, filters, and other products, and has been in business since 1950. A letter on the company's website from Royden Freeland Jr., W5EMH, the son of the company's founder, said the company will honor all pending orders and would try to fill a limited number of new orders depending on the availability of raw materials. International Crystal is considered one of the few remaining makers of crystal products based in the United States. ICM expanded from crystals into other electronics in the 1980s, following the 1978 death of the founder and his wife in an airplane crash. It eventually went back to its core manufacturer of crystals in the 1990s after selling much of its distribution and equipment business. In addition to being a Collins supplier, ICM also provided materials to Radio Shack, which has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy for a second time, and announced that many of its 5,900 employees and 1,500 remaining stores would be impacted. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP in Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Shortwave listeners and scanner enthusiasts in and around Cincinnati are making use of a resource to monitor themselves as well as radio signals. We hear more from correspondent Jack Prindle, AB4WS, in this report courtesy of Amateur News Weekly.
In the greater Cincinnati area, there is a group of avid radio monitors who listen to all kinds of RF. Calling themselves Monix, they have been the source for SWL and scanner listeners in the area for years. Monix was founded in 1983 as an informal club of scanner enthusiasts, shortwave listeners, DXers, and others who share an interest in the hobby of radio monitoring. Monix is a full-spectrum, all-mode club covering all aspects of radio monitoring from D.C. to daylight. Monix covers the Cincinnati-Dayton metropolitan area, southwestern Ohio, southeastern Indiana, and northern Kentucky. Monix is an open group. Anyone anywhere may join, and if you're a radio hobbyist, this is the place to be. They have a group on Yahoo, which can be found by searching Yahoo Groups for M-O-N-I-X, also a Facebook group as well. For more information, visit the Monix website at monix.net. Covering your amateur radio news in the greater Cincinnati area and the Commonwealth of Kentucky for Amateur News Weekly, this is Jack Prindle, AB4WS in Big Bone, Kentucky.
Our thanks to Amateur News Weekly for that report. Additional reports on the Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky region can be found at www.amateurnewsweekly.com. Young hams in South Africa are making friends with young American hams living in Michigan. It's all because of ham radio, as we hear from Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF.
You're never too young to form a long-distance friendship. But while children before the era of the internet did that by becoming pen pals, some youngsters of the current digital age are going not online, but on the air. Kids in the South African Radio League's Hammies Amateur Radio Club, ZS6ZU, have been building bonds with their counterparts in the US for almost 2 years through a net organized by Ed Engelman, KG8CE, of the Young Amateurs Communications Ham Team in Menominee, Michigan. Hammies organizer Noel Hammond, ZR60X, said it's fun and it's working.
And the aim of the and the idea of the whole of the net and the group is really to get the kids onto air discussing, talking about themselves, talking about learning different cultures. What's it like here in Africa? What's it like in the States, wherever the kids are in the States? And hopefully, you know, putting together, getting to learn each other's, getting to learn the cultures, and the kids have been very, very good ambassadors from both sides.
Even with their days being many hours apart, Noel said the kids still find a way to bridge that huge time zone between them.
We've had some great conversations with the kids. The kids have had great conversations with each other. Ask a lot of questions about South Africa, of course, a lot of questions about the States and what they do, what are they like about ham radio. And the fantastic thing here is the common denominator is ham radio.
In South Africa, those 12 weeks of Saturday morning hammy classes have taught the kids enough technical stuff to become confident operators. But it's on the air get-togethers with the other children that provide unity. Maybe one day, Noel says, the radio can unite them in other ways.
I'm hoping to, over a period of time, that we can actually take it to the next level. And maybe we can do... We can get a cup, as you said, an eyeball QSO would be an absolute dream come true, where we could maybe send some kids there or some kids come across here, do some of those things and get to know each other that way.
That's Ham Radio, building friendships one child at a time. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Ruth Willett, KM4LAO, isn't just an active YL and a DXer. She's the keynoter at an upcoming dinner at Dayton Hamvention. Let Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, introduce her.
The Southwest Ohio DX Association has announced that Ruth Willett, KM4LAO, will keynote its 32nd annual DX dinner held in conjunction with the 2017 Dayton Hamvention. Her topic will be experiencing the hobby of a lifetime. So, let's meet Ruth. She'll tell you a little bit about herself.
I am a freshman at Kettering University in Michigan, where I am majoring in mechanical engineering and engineering physics. So although I live in Georgia, I chose to go to Kettering in Michigan because of the small size, and another big attraction of the school was the co-op program. So basically, their entire schedule is set up around co-ops. It's basically a quarter schedule. So you're in school for about a quarter, about 11 weeks, an entire semester, and then you go and work for a company in an engineering field related to your majors. So I'm working right now for Textron Specialized Vehicles in Augusta, Georgia. So I've been there since the beginning of January. I'll be there till the end of March, which is about 11 weeks, and then I'll be heading back to school.
Ruth is still basking in the thrill of last year's enviable Ham Radio DX adventure.
So I was a member of the 2016 Dave Coulter Memorial Youth DX Adventure. We traveled to the island of Ceiba last August, and there's nine of us. We lived on the island for about a week, and it was a lot of fun getting into the experience of traveling there and operating from the island. So we operated on satellites as well as HF. So satellites were pretty neat since most of us hadn't experienced satellite operations before. Getting to put Ceiba on the air was quite the adventure.
And Ruth looks forward to sharing her adventures with everyone at the DX dinner.
So I'm looking forward to basically sharing some of the stories of what I've been able to do in this hobby thanks to the great people I've been able to interact with and learn from. And building on that, share my ideas that I've learned from the different experiences I've been able to have regarding how we can promote this versatile hobby and attract people who will get licensed and stay interested in this hobby, interested in amateur radio, to keep it moving forward into the future.
You can hear Ruth's talk at the DX dinner on Friday, May 19th at the Dayton Marriott, 1414 South Patterson Boulevard, starting with a social hour at 5:30 p.m. For more information and to order tickets, visit swodxaevents.org. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W2GLD repeater in Pinckney, Michigan, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. local time. If you are anywhere in West Virginia, Charleston will be the place to be on March 25th as we hear from Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
The 33rd annual Charleston, West Virginia Hamfest is slated for Saturday, March 25th, 2017, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Charleston Civic Center in downtown Charleston, West Virginia. In addition to the dealers and flea marketers, informative forums will be a part of the day, including ARRL and Aries. VE testing will take place at noon. DXCC, Worked All States, and VUCC card checkers will be on hand as well. Prizes include a $500 cash first prize. The event is the first Hamfest of the year in West Virginia, and attendees come from all over the state, as well as bordering states of Ohio, Kentucky, and Virginia. Hamfest President Randy Dameron, N8XEA, talks about a special attraction.
We are excited about the advent of a new partner this year at the upcoming Hamfest. It's the Radio Museum of Technology at Huntington, better known locally as the Antique Radio Museum. They're going to be with us this year in their own separate area inside the Hamfest, and they're bringing lots of antique radios and antique ham gear for sale, along with a soldering exhibition, particularly PL259s being soldered to coax cable. Should be a lot of fun. Hope to see you there.
For more information on the Charleston, West Virginia Hamfest, email n8tmw@arrl.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Dameron, n8tmw.
Amateurs activating summits around the world climbed to a new challenge recently as they worked long path propagation to make those coveted contacts. Here's Newsline's Ed Durant, DD5LP, with that report.
In summits on the air, SOTA, one of the more difficult and therefore challenging actions is to communicate from one summit to another, usually using a low power and a simple antenna at both ends. Add to that distance and poor propagation, and the challenge is enormous. This is the situation faced by the SOTA activators who climbed to the summits in Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand, and Japan on Saturday, the 11th of March. In two actions to correspond with long past propagation times between Europe and Asia Pacific and Asia Pacific and North America, over 30 summits were activated across all the countries. For the first of the two actions, starting around 0700 UTC, the Europe-Australia one, hopes were not high, with the predicted propagation and the results of a test at the same time the previous day by the organisers, Mike 2E0 Yankee 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 and Andrew VK1 Alpha Delta, when contact were very difficult to make even between a summit station and a well-equipped home chaser station. But despite these predictions, the amateur spirit kicked in, and early morning in Europe and late afternoon in Asia Pacific, the stations were out in force on the summits. A total of 25 summits were activated in Europe, 8 in Australia, 5 in Japan and 1 in New Zealand. Luck was with us. The band conditions, while variable, were better than the previous days, and intercontinental summit-to-summit contacts were made. I myself managed 5 summit-to-summit contacts, 2 of those into Australia from Germany, the other 3 were with Portugal, Germany and the UK. I heard a SOTA summit in Japan, although call as I may, he didn't hear me. Others managed contacts from Europe into New Zealand and Japan as well as Australia. So all in all, a surprisingly successful event. There are many comments on the SOTA Reflector from those who took part saying how much they enjoyed the event and when would the next one be. For several activators, this was the first time they managed an intercontinental summit-to-summit contact. Then while the Europeans went home to have a nice restful evening, on the other side of the world, activators in Australia were heading out early on their Sunday morning to try for summit-to-summit contacts into North America. 3 Australian activators camped overnight on their summits so they could take part in both events. Again, for the VK to North America path, predictions were not good, and in this case, unfortunately, the predictions were mainly true. Although intercontinental summit to home station contacts were made, and several S2S contacts within each region, no intercontinental summit to summit contacts were achieved. This might sound a little disheartening, but in fact it has increased the resolve of those taking part to come back and try again when conditions are somewhat better and with improved antenna setups. I'm sure it won't be long before the VK to North America path will be as successful as the European to VK one. One similarity already exists, that those taking part thoroughly enjoyed themselves and are looking forward to another go. Active during this event, the VK to North America event, were 5 summit stations from Australia, 5 from the USA and 1 from Japan. Going by the enthusiasm of those taking part, I expect there will be many more next time. These events are organised by individuals within the SOTA community, so it just shows how much fun can be had based simply on an idea, a date, and a long walk up a hill. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Ed Durant, DD5LP.
In the world of DX, Dimitri, RZ3DJ, Pavel, R2DX, R2DY, and Yuri, R2DG, will be active as EK/RZ3DJ, EK/R2DX, EK/R2DY, and EK/R2DG from Armenia until March 21st. Find them on 160 through 10 meters, QSL via their home call sign or club logs OQRS. An Armenia plaque is available if you work them on 3 different bands. Nigel, G3TXF, is active as 3B8/G3TXF through March 21st in Mauritius. Nigel will be mainly on CW on the 30, 17, and 12-meter bands. You may also hear him in the Russian DX contest on March 18th and 19th. QSL via Club Logs OQRS for direct and bureau QSLs. Antoine, 3D2AG, will once again be active as 3D2AG/P from Rotuma Island between March 25th and April 22nd, pending shipping schedule. Find him on 160 through 6 meters, including 60 meters, using CW, SSB, RITI, and PSK-31. He will run barefoot and entirely solar-powered, QSL via his home call sign, direct only, or PayPal, see QRZ.com. Also, watch QRZ.com for updates by Antoine. In Uganda, Anton, ON6NL, is once again active as 5X8C from Entebbe. Listen for him on various HF bands, QSL via his home call sign, direct, by the Bureau, LOTW, or Club Log. Finally, we remind you of Amateur Radio Newsline's commitment to honoring young talent. Is there a young radio operator who particularly impresses you? Nominations have opened for the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award for amateurs 18 or younger who reside in the United States, its possessions, or any Canadian province. Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. The award will be presented on August 19th at the Huntsville Ham Fest in Alabama. Visit our website for details. Nominations close May 31st, which will be here before you know it. With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Hurricane WatchNet, International Crystal Manufacturing, Irish Radio Transmitters Society, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, Southgate Amateur Radio News, the Southwest Ohio DX Association, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017, all rights reserved.